Yep.
Perfect. Okay, good. So we are on, and we'll open with prayer. Father, thank you for being with us today and all the time. We thank you for your presence that we can have. We thank you for the fellowship we have in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness we have so that we can access your throne boldly. And we'd ask now, well, we also thank you before we ask anything. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the enlightenment that you can give to us through the Holy Spirit. Be with us tonight. Speak to our hearts, and may for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, chapter 38, and I'll start here. He made the altar for burnt offering of acacia wood, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, square, and 3 cubits high. He made horns for it on its four corners, the horns being of one piece with it, and he overlaid it with copper. He made all the utensils of the altar, the pails, the scrapers, the basins, the flesh hooks, and the fire pans. He made all these utensils of copper. He made for the altar a grating of meshwork in copper, extending below, under its ledge, to its middle. He cast four rings at the four corners of the copper grating as holders for the poles. He made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with copper. And he inserted the poles into the rings on the side walls of the altar to carry it by them. He made it hollow with boards. He made the laver of copper and its stand of copper from the mirrors of the women who performed tasks at the entrance of the tent of meeting. He made the enclosure on the south side, 100 cubits of hangings of fine twisted linen for the enclosure, with their 20 posts and their 20 sockets of copper, the hooks and bands of the posts being silver. On the north side, 100 cubits with their 20 posts and their 20 sockets of copper, the hooks and bands of the posts being silver. On the west side, 50 cubits of hangings with their 10 posts and their 10 sockets, the hooks and bands of the posts being silver. And on the front side to the east, 50 cubits, 15 cubits of hangings on the one flank with their 3 posts and their 3 sockets, and 15 cubits of hangings on the other flank on each side of the gate of the enclosure with their 3 posts and their 3 sockets. All the hangings around the enclosure were of fine twisted linen. The sockets for the posts were of copper. The hooks and bands of the posts were of silver. The overlay of their tops was of silver. All the posts of the enclosure were banded with silver. The screen of the gate of the enclosure, done in embroidery, was of blue, purple, and crimson yarns and fine twisted linen. It was 20 cubits long. Its height or width was 5 cubits, like that of the hangings of the enclosure. The posts were four, their 4 sockets were of copper, the hooks of silver, and the overlay of their tops was of silver, as were also their bands. All the pegs of the tabernacle and the enclosure roundabout were of copper. These are the records of the tabernacle of the pact, which were drawn up at Moses' bidding. The work of the Levites under the direction of Ithamar, son of Aaron, the priest. Now Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, had made all that the Lord had commanded Moses. At his side was Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, carver and designer, an embroiderer in blue, purple, and crimson yarns, and in fine linen. All the gold that was used for the work and all the work of the sanctuary, the elevation offering of gold, came to 29 talents and 730 shekels by the sanctuary weight. The silver of those of the community who were recorded came to 100 talents and 1,775 shekels by the sanctuary weight. A half shekel a head, half a shekel by the sanctuary weight for each one, was entered in the records from the age of 20 years up. 603,550 men. The 100 talents of silver were for casting the sockets of the sanctuary. and the sockets for the curtain. 100 sockets to the 100 talents, a talent a socket. And of the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the posts, overlay for their tops, and bands around them. The copper for the elevation offering came to 70 talents and 2,440 shekels. Of it, he made the sockets for the entrance of the tent of meeting, the copper altar and its copper grating, and all the utensils of the altar, the sockets of the enclosure round about, and the sockets of the gate of the enclosure, and all the pegs of the tabernacle, and all the pegs of the enclosure round about. Couple of observations. Is there anybody here?
Yeah, I'm
Oh,
here.
okay. Went to
Cool
sleep.
here. I was just laying down.
If it sounds like we've read all this before, it's because we have.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm starting in chapter 25. You have what's recorded is what God told Moses to do regarding the tabernacle. And it's almost word for word repeated once we get to, I think it's chapter 33, which I guess we're reading one or two times before, because from there, I don't know if it's 33 that far. 34, he gets the commandments. 35, he starts to tell them what they're doing. It was 36 when we started last time. We first heard about Bezalel and Oholiab. I can't say that well. And what's recorded then is what they did. And what they did is exactly what God told Moses they should do. And that's why it seems like, wait, we've already heard about all this stuff before. So 38 is talking about the instructions that were given for making the altar of burnt offering. The hangings for the enclosure. The enclosure is not the, what you have is you have a tabernacle or a tent of meeting. We were reading last time about the coverings, the four layers that went over. And that's like a big tent.
Yeah.
But this is like a wall of cloth and posts. And it was similar to the way that the tent was set up. The side walls where they had these sockets and they had boards, and then here you've got sockets and posts, and then they're like curtains hung between them. Every 5 cubits there's a span of cloth so that you can put like a partition or a wall of cloth all the way around that separates this holy area from the tent itself, and in the most holy in the tent. It's quite an interesting thing. I also think it's amazing the beauty of this. And one of the things that makes it, I think, so beautiful is there's a repetition of colors and substances. Because there's not the palette is limited. It's like when you're decorating your house, like you're doing now with the gray and the white.
Yeah.
You wouldn't start putting yellow and green and blue and orange. If you did, it would be confusing. It would be a mess.
Right.
But the colors here, you notice that the cloth, the embroidery is always blue, purple, and crimson. So you've got these three colors, they're complementary. Sort of a purplish color, but they harmonize well together.
Yeah.
And then they're combined with gold, silver, and copper is the metals that are used, which overlay everything. And the only wood that's used is acacia wood. And everything is like made from wood. It's overlaid with a metal or it's solid metal. And the colors are this purplish color, or one of the colors. It's either red, blue, or purple, or a combination of all of them. There's some embroidery, and then there's these three other complementary colors: the copper color, the gold color, and the silver color. So really, I think it would have been a very beautiful building.
Yeah, I can see that.
Amazing. Now, the other thing that I thought was interesting, just reading this chapter 38, a lot of times in the Bible you see these numbers, and the Bible gives so much attention to numbers. And I know we sometimes try to look for symbolic meanings, and sometimes that's apparent, sometimes it's not so apparent. But whether there's a symbolic meaning or not, the Bible still is very particular and very accurate in the numbers that it gives. For instance, in verse 25, it says the silver of those of the community who were recorded came to 100 talents and 1,775 shekels. That would be like saying $100. Well, in this case, you wouldn't say 1,775 cents, because our unit of we transition from a cent to a dollar at 100, right? Every 100 cents becomes another dollar. So the number of shekels that make up a talent has got to be more than 1,775. That's a pretty big number. How many was it? My footnote tells us. But if you didn't know, you know that a shekel, that the community was assessed a half shekel a head. Or says right there in verse 26, a half a shekel a head, half a shekel by the sanctuary way for each one who was entered in the records from the age of 20 years up, 603,550 men. So 603,550 men each paid a half a shekel, which meant if you divide that by two, you'll get the number of shekels that they paid, right? So let me try to do this again. I did this before, but I'm going to do it right. 603,550 divided by two. That means the men were assessed a total of 301,775 shekels. We'll subtract out the 1,775 shekels that are over the 100 talents, and you see that 100 talents is equal to 300,000 shekels. So one shekel is 3,000, one talent rather is 3,000 shekels. And
Very
it
good.
works out perfectly. So it's amazing. Now, it doesn't say how the gold and the copper, it doesn't give you numbers for, because those weren't assessments. You have to go back to, I think it's chapter 28, where it says how much every man was to be assessed. And again, it repeats it. I don't know if it was 28 or, but it was in that area. Let me see if I can find it. I saw it just a little while ago, last time, but I don't know where it was. I lost it. Well, I'm not going to waste the time now, but it repeats this. It talks about that every man should be assessed a half a shekel of silver for the sanctuary, and it works out perfectly, which is really, really something. So now we go on. John, do you have any other comments, or why don't you take 39 then?
of the blue, purple, and scarlet thread, they made garments of ministry for ministering the holy place and made the holy garments for Aaron, as the Lord had commanded Moses. They made the ephod of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread in a fine woven blend, and they beat the gold into thin sheets and cut it into threads to work it in with the blue, purple, and scarlet
Can I
thread.
make a comment right here, just
Yeah.
interrupt this? Since we were talking about the colors, isn't it interesting that the priest, Aaron, is wearing the same colors as the building that he's officiating in? That's striking. In other words, here you have this building and enclosure that has this color theme, and in it is a priest who's wearing the same color. It's like he's one with the building. He's part of
Maybe
this.
that's supposed to suggest how Christ is one with the church.
I think it might be that where that priesthood is, and there's that unity there. It's quite amazing.
Yeah.
Go on. I'm sorry I interrupted, but
No,
I'm.
that's okay. Where am I? To work it in with the blue, purple, and scarlet thread and the fine linen into artistic designs. They made shoulder straps for it to couple it together. It was coupled together at its two edges. And the intricately woven band of his ephod that was on it was of the same workmanship, woven of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread in the fine woven linen, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And they set onyx stones enclosed in settings of gold. They were engraved as signets are engraved, with the names of the sons of Israel. He put them on the shoulders of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he made the breastplate artistically woven like the workmanship of the ephod of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine woven linen. And he made the breastplate square by doubling it. The span was its length and span its width when doubled. And they set it in four rows of stones. A row with a sardius, a topaz, and an emerald was the first row. The second row, a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. The fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They were enclosed in settings of gold in their mountings. There were 12 stones according to the names of the sons of Israel, according to their names, engraved like a signet, each one with its own name according to the 12 tribes. And they made chains for the breastplate at the ends, like braided cords of pure gold. They also made two settings of gold and two gold rings and put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And they put the two braided chains of gold and the two rings on the ends of the breastplate. The two ends of the two braided chains they fastened to the two settings and put them on the shoulder straps of the ephod in the front. They made two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastplate on the edge of it, which was on the inward side of the ephod. They made two other gold rings and put them on the two shoulder straps underneath the ephod toward its front, right at the seam above the intricately woven band of the ephod. And they bound the breastplate by means of its rings to the rings of the ephod with a blue cord, so that it would be above the intricately woven band of the ephod, and that the breastplate would not come loose from the ephod as the Lord had commanded Moses. Babe, I think that the air quality is killing my throat. Is it?
You got bad air quality out there?
Man, there's ash all over the pool.
Oh, it's the fires. They must
Yeah,
be getting
you
worse.
should see the backyard. My
No
pool in the
way.
backyard is covered in ash
Oh, man.
all over the place.
Do you know where it is?
We saw on the map that we're in the middle of like three fires right now.
Wow. No threat to your house, though.
Oh, but
That
yes,
must be.
look in the backyard, it's out of control.
Boy, Linda would be freaking out.
Yeah, you literally see ash falling from the sky. And the
Wow.
pool is covered.
Amazing. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Yeah, we walked outside. We were like, but I think my throat's getting.
Yeah, it probably is. I think it's the air condition doesn't help, huh? It should.
Well, I'm not saying it's not.
But yeah. Anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
He made the robe of the ephod of woven wool, all of blue, and there was an opening in the middle of the robe, like the opening in a coat of mail, with a woven binding all around the opening so that it would not tear. They made on the hem of the robe pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet, and a fine woven lid. And they made bells of pure gold and put the bells between the pomegranates on the hem of the robe all around between the pomegranates, a bell and a pomegranate, bell, a pomegranate, all around the hem of the robe between sternum, as the Lord had commanded Moses. They made tunics artistically woven of fine linen for Aaron and his sons, a turban of fine linen, exquisite hats of fine linen, short trousers of fine woven linen, and a sash of fine woven linen with blue, purple, and scarlet thread, made by a weaver, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold and wrote on it an inscription like the engraving of a signet: Holiness to the Lord. And they tied to it a blue cord to fasten it above on the turban, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Thus, all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was finished, and the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So they did. And they brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent, and all its furnishings, its clasps, its boards, its bars, its pillars, and its sockets. The covering of ram skins dyed red, the covering of badger skins, and the veil of the covering, the ark of the testimony with its poles, the mercy seat, the table, all its utensils, and the showbread, the pure gold lampstand with its lamps, the lamps set in order, all its utensils, and the oil for light, the gold altar, the anointing oil, the sweet incense, the screen for the tabernacle door, bronze altar, its grate of bronze, its poles, and all its utensils, a laver with its base, the hangings for its pillars and its sockets, the screen for the court gate, its cords and its pegs, all the utensils for the service of the tabernacle for the tent of meeting, and the garments of ministry to minister the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and his son's garments to minister as priests. According to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did all the work. Then Moses looked over all the work, and indeed they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Just so had they done it, and Moses blessed them.
That's interesting. So it repeats it all, and it says they did exactly what God told them to do, and Moses blesses them for it. That's pretty cool the way that ends. A few things about the priestly garments that I think are worth commenting on. You notice that Aaron is bearing, has on his shoulders these inscriptions of all the tribes, the 12 tribes, like he's bearing the responsibility for those, the children of Israel, on his shoulders as he approaches God, which again I think symbolizes Christ as the high priest who's taking, representing us before God the Father.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, that's what I think that signifies the with the rep.
And obviously, because that's what the priest is supposed to be doing. He's supposed to be represent. He's that's his responsibility too. What else can we talk about? I had another. I can't think of it right now. Okay, chapter 40.
Okay, go
Unless you had something, John.
ahead. No, I didn't have it.
Okay. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, On the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. I want to stop here because another thing that's interesting is the references to time in Exodus. All of this takes place during the course of about 1 year. Now, I'm getting that because I might have to look it up, find which chapter. There's one in the middle of this long description. There's a verse that says, I think it's, let's see if I can find it. It might be around 20. We did 28, 29. But there's a verse where it says that exactly 1 year and 1 month after they left, they left Egypt, that Moses is getting this information from God. So it's not a long time. And after this, though, when we get into if when we get further into the story in I believe in Numbers, for instance, you see that they spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness. All of that happens after this initial revelation. This whole book of Exodus is taking place in the course of 1 year, basically.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I didn't know
And this, what God is telling them on the next. When the next year begins, set the tabernacle up because they're already 1 month past the first year. So I guess by the second year, they were ready to set this up. Place the Ark of the Pact and screen off the Ark with the curtain. Bring in the table and lay out its due setting. Bring in the lampstand and light its lamps and place the gold altar of incense before the Ark of the Pact. Then put up the screen for the entrance of the tabernacle. You shall place the altar of burnt offering before the entrance of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. Place the laver between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Set up the enclosure round about and put in place the screen for the gate of the enclosure. You shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it to consecrate it and all its furnishings so that it shall be holy. Then anoint the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils to consecrate the altar so that the altar shall be most holy. And anoint the laver and its stand to consecrate it. You shall bring Aaron and his sons forward to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Put the sacral vestments on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him that he may serve me as priest. Then bring his sons forward. Put tunics on them and anoint them as you've anointed their father, that they may serve me as priests. This their anointing shall serve them for everlasting priesthood throughout the ages. This Moses did, just as the Lord had commanded him, so he did. In the first month of the second year, on the first month, the tabernacle was set up. See, there again, it confirms what I just said. I was saying this all took place in 1 year, and then they were anticipating the beginning of the second year to set up the tabernacle. So, in the first month of the second year, in the first month, the tabernacle was set up. Moses set up the tabernacle, placing its sockets, setting up its planks, inserting its bars, and erecting its posts. He spread the tent over the tabernacle, placing the covering of the tent on top of it. Just as the Lord had commanded Moses. He took the pack and placed it in the ark. He fixed the poles to the ark, placed the cover on top of the ark, and brought the ark inside the tabernacle. Then he put up the curtain for screening and screened off the ark of the pack, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. He placed the table in the tent of meeting outside the curtain on the north side of the tabernacle. Upon it, he laid out the setting of bread before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He placed the lampstand in the tent of meeting opposite the table on the south side of the tabernacle. And he lit the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He placed the altar of gold in the tent of meeting before the curtain. On it he burned aromatic incense, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he put up the screen for the entrance of the tabernacle. At the entrance of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, he placed the altar of burnt offering. On it he offered up the burnt offering and the meal offering, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He placed the laver between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it for washing. From it, Moses and Aaron and his sons would wash their hands and feet. They washed when they entered the tent of meeting and when they approached the altar. Now, wow, that's interesting. Remember how Jesus said when he goes to wash the disciples' feet, and Peter says, why are you washing my feet? And Jesus said, I need to do this, but he says, you're all clean, but not complete. He says, you're clean, but not completely. This washing is after the altar. So, in other words, the sacrifice is completed first, and then there's this additional cleansing that takes place, which I think is very similar. It's not, the laver doesn't represent the initial forgiveness of sins. It represents the correction, the corrective action that and cleansing that we need from the day-to-day contamination before you're entering into the holy place. So I don't know. I think that may be relevant there.
I think that even though you're saved from the foundation of the world, there's still the process of sanctification that is a lifelong process even after that salvation.
Right. And the need for from day to day, correction and cleansing, asking God for forgiveness on a day-to-day basis. From it, Moses and Aaron's sons will wash their hands and feet. They washed when they entered the tent of meeting and when they approached the altar, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he set up the enclosure around the tabernacle and the altar and put up the screen for the gate of the enclosure. When Moses had finished the work, the cloud covered the tent of meeting and the presence of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it and the presence of the Lord filled the tabernacle. When the cloud lifted from the tabernacle, the Israelites would set out on their various journeys. But if the cloud did not lift, they would not set out until such time as it did lift. For over the tabernacle, a cloud of the Lord rested by day, and fire would appear in it by night, in the view of all the house of Israel throughout their journeys. So that completes the reading of Exodus. Very
So
good.
now, thank you, Dad. We are
Yeah.
at the point again of deciding
Of
what
deciding what we want to do.
we've done so many books, haven't we?
If I think we've done an enormous number of them, but I'm not sure what we should do next. We've done all the prophets, right? Completely. We've done the first two chapters of the Old Testament twice. Well, we've done them twice through.
No,
So
we haven't.
with your kids.
We went through Exodus too.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever went through Exodus with the kids.
Yes, I think we did.
I don't think we did.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
But
We don't have any record of it, so we did Psalms. We did Matthew. Did we do all the epistles of Paul?
I think we didn't do, yeah, we did everything.
Oh, all the epistles of Paul. We did Revelation. I think we did
We did the whole New Testament.
the whole New Testament, except I don't think we did all the Gospels.
Didn't do all the Gospels.
No. So we almost did, believe it or not, in the few short years, just meeting once a week, we've done almost the whole Bible, or
Amazing,
at least
huh?
half of it.
Yeah.
I mean, some
Exodus,
of
Psalms is a major one. Proverbs, we
yeah,
need
we
to
did Proverbs. We didn't do all the histories.
No.
That's the one thing we haven't. I don't know if you're interested in doing that or not, but we are now ready to make another decision. Okay. You want to think about it a while?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I always love the Gospels.
We can start again on the
I
Gospels.
think that there's probably more, the most doctrine and discussion that we're going to have probably is going to be
Is
derived
in
from
the
the
Gospels.
Gospels. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we should take, we
Start
already
with
did Matthew.
Matthew. Did we do John?
We didn't.
We didn't. Wow.
I believe so.
Maybe not.
Anyway, it doesn't hurt to do it again. I mean, if you're going to church, that's all you're going to hear is from one of the four gospels over and
Really? No kidding.
over and over again. Pretty much.
Well, it's good though. You're right. It is very instructive, and I wouldn't mind doing them again.
Yeah, maybe we can we can do John and yeah, we'll do that.
Okay, I'll make a note in my calendar. We'll try doing John again next time. We'll
All
start
right.
with John, and then maybe we can pick up Matthew after that again, Or do
Or,
you
well,
want it to start with
I
Matthew
would do,
and
we already did Matthew. I don't want to just read all the Gospels.
okay, Luke?
I mean, I love Luke.
We haven't done that, right?
I think Luke is the best one.
Okay. Well, it's got the most history,
Yeah.
the most detail. We'll do Luke, and then we can continue on into John if you want to do that again. Because
Okay.
it's a different perspective
Right.
completely.
Yeah, we'll do Luke and then John.
Okay. I'll make a note for the 28th. We'll do that. Sounds great.
Cool. All right. Well, I guess that'll be that then.
Let me see if I hit Alt R again. Will it turn it off? Let's try.